What if you could charge an electric car with an 800-kilometer range in less time than it takes to make a cup of coffee? That's not science fiction. According to Toyota, it's their target for 2026. This week, we're seeing the solid-state battery revolution move from the laboratory to the production line, triggering a global manufacturing race. The question for Western executives is no longer if, but how do we compete? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we are dedicating our entire briefing to one topic, the solid-state battery. For years, it's been the holy grail of energy storage. Now, a flood of developments from the US, Europe, and especially Asia suggests the commercialization timeline has radically accelerated. We're moving from research to reality.
That's right, Susie. The focus has shifted from fundamental science to manufacturing scale-up, intellectual property dominance, and real-world vehicle testing. This week isn't about a single breakthrough, but a critical mass of them, creating an entirely new competitive landscape for any company involved in manufacturing, energy, or transportation.
So let's start there, Troy. We're seeing announcements from Toyota, BMW, Samsung, and a host of startups. But reports from China seem to be on a different scale entirely. Who is actually winning this race to production?
The most significant strategic development is China's national-level mobilization. Through its CASA program, Beijing is uniting companies like CATL and BYD with universities and government agencies, backed by over $830 million in investment. They've even enacted a national standard, effective July 1, 2026, that defines what a true all-solid-state battery is, less than 5% liquid electrolyte.
They're literally writing the rules of the game. What does this mean in terms of production?
It means they're building factories. GAC has completed a high-capacity production line. Dongfeng Motor is targeting delivery of 50,000 solid-state battery EVs by 2027. And CATL is already developing sulfide-based cells targeting an energy density over 500 watt-hours per kilogram, with small series production slated for 2027.
500 watt-hours per kilogram is nearly double what we see in today's best EVs. So for a US or European automaker, what's the competitive response? Are they being left behind?
Not yet, but the pressure is immense. The Western and allied response is centered on IP and strategic partnerships. Toyota holds a commanding lead in patents, with over 3,500 patent families. In Germany, the Max Planck Institute is producing foundational research. In the US, BMW is already testing large cells from Solid Power in its i7 vehicles, and QuantumScape has initiated pilot production in San Jose, strengthening its collaboration with Honda.
So what's the actionable insight here for a European manufacturer?
You must assume that by 2027, there will be a significant supply of high-performance, state-certified solid-state batteries coming from China. This is both a competitive threat and a supply chain reality. Western manufacturers need to secure their own technology through partnerships, like the QuantumScape Honda deal, or risk becoming dependent on Chinese suppliers for the most critical component of next-generation electric products.
Okay, so the race to manufacturing is on. But for years, we've been told this technology was plagued by fundamental problems. What actually changed to make this production push possible?
The core challenge has always been managing the lithium metal anode. During charging, tiny needle-like structures called dendrites can form. Think of them as metallic tree roots that grow through the solid electrolyte, eventually causing a short circuit and battery failure. For a long time, we didn't fully understand the failure mechanism.
And now we do?
Precisely. Research published in Nature from Germany's Max Planck Institute revealed that the culprit is hydrostatic stress. Essentially, the internal pressure building up inside the dendrite itself is what cracks the ceramic electrolyte. This fundamental insight has unlocked a wave of targeted solutions.
So instead of just building a stronger wall, they now understand what's pushing on it. What are these new solutions?
They are happening at the nanoscale. For instance, Argonne National Laboratory in the U.S. has developed a 1 nanometer thick magnesium oxide coating that chemically stabilizes the fragile interface of sulfide electrolytes. We're also seeing the rise of advanced composite polymer electrolytes, or CPEs.
These act as a stable, conductive interlayer, solving the interfacial degradation that has plagued Nasacon-based electrolytes.
What does this mean for trading and distribution companies? Are we talking about new materials to source?
Absolutely. This opens up a new frontier for specialty materials. The argon discovery points to a need for advanced deposition technologies for ultra-thin ceramic coatings. The success of CPEs creates demand for specific materials like LLZTO, a garnet-type oxide, and succinonitrile. Western trading firms should be identifying suppliers of these advanced materials now. The intellectual property is also fragmenting. Umicore is leading in some electrolyte patents, but there are huge opportunities in ceramics, where patent activity is still sparse.
So it's not just about electric cars in 2027. Where will Western companies first encounter these new batteries in the market?
The first wave of applications will follow a classic high-value, cost-insensitive model. Samsung SDI, for instance, is explicitly targeting robotics, advanced air mobility, and drones for its initial 2027 mass production. The most immediate and disruptive impact will be on industrial unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs.
Drones? Why is that the perfect entry market?
Because the benefits are direct and solve major operational pain points. A Chinese company, Tatu, just unveiled a semi-solid battery for industrial drones with an energy density of 350 watt-hours per kilogram and a life of over 1,200 cycles. In the U.S., Factorial Energy's partnership with Tulip Tech demonstrated a greater than 30% increase in drone flight range during customer tests.
30% more range is a huge leap for logistics or agricultural drones.
It's a game changer, but the most critical feature reported by Shenya is performance in extreme temperatures. Conventional drone batteries lose power rapidly in the cold and can overheat in the heat. Solid-state and semi-solid chemistries are far more stable, which means more reliable flight times and significantly improved safety in demanding industrial environments.
So, for a U.S. or European drone manufacturer, what's the call to action?
They need to be aggressively testing and integrating these batteries immediately. This is a massive performance upgrade that can be a key product differentiator. They should be engaging with companies like Factorial Energy or sourcing from innovators like Tatu. The threat is that Chinese competitors are already moving. Talent New Energy has already partnered with Yadea to mass-produce electric motorcycles with semi-solid batteries. The technology is already on the market, and the performance gap will widen quickly.
Troy, this has been an incredibly dense briefing. Let's distill this into a strategic summary. What are the three key takeaways for Western executives this week?
First, recognize that China is not just competing, it's executing a nationalized industrial strategy for solid-state batteries. The CASIP program and the new national standard are designed to build a dominant state-sanctioned industry. U.S. and European firms must operate with this in mind, demanding policy support and diversifying supply chains away from a single point of failure.
So this is a geopolitical issue as much as a technical one. What's second?
Second, the technology is not monolithic. There is no single solid-state winner yet. We have sulfide, oxide, halide, and polymer-based electrolytes, each with different supply chains and performance characteristics. Manufacturers cannot bet on a single horse. The correct strategy is to build a portfolio of partnerships with material specialists, university labs, and innovative startups to stay ahead of this fragmentation.
And the final takeaway?
Finally, the battleground for the next 24 months is not the consumer EV market. It's in high-performance industrial applications. The most immediate opportunities and competitive threats are in drones, robotics, and aerospace. Western trading companies and manufacturers should focus their commercial and R&D efforts here. This is where the first commercial volumes will appear and where market leadership will be established.
A fascinating look at a technology moving at incredible speed. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
For more strategic analysis of the technology shaping your industry, make sure you subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with another Essential Briefing.